Cale Clark here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Relevant Radio and get a free phone. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com. Hi, this is Cale Clark. Welcome back to The Faith Explained on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Well, this is number two in our new series of misunderstood Bible passages. And here it is for today. This is from Matthew chapter 24, verses 40 and 41. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken, and one will be left. Now, a lot of people have used these two verses as a basis for the doctrine of the rapture. This is a non-Catholic doctrine. It's not a Catholic teaching. But a lot of Catholics believe in it because it's become very, very popular in the last century or so, even though the teaching itself is only about 200 years old. Let me tell you a little bit about what the rapture is. This is also connected with the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 4, John the Revelator, who most people think is John the Apostle, some differ, but he is told, come up here. And what happens? He gets a heavenly vision, and a lot of that is contained in the book of Revelation. Well, that's a pretty thin verse to build a whole doctrine on. It's not just that verse, but that's one of the verses that's used to support this concept of the rapture. What is the rapture? It's a belief that Christians will be taken up from the earth. They'll be taken to heaven before a time of great tribulation. Now, this will be a very hellish period. The wrath of God will be poured out on unbelievers. And even this whole concept rests on maybe a misinterpretation of some other Bible passages, such as Daniel chapter 9. But at any rate, after this, Christ will return and set up this thousand-year reign. Anyways, it's all a little bit complicated, but is this something that we need to worry about? No, this is not a biblical concept at all. Where does it come from? Where does it come from, this concept of the rapture? Well, it really comes from this system known as premillennial dispensationalism, which was a theological system that got going a couple hundred years ago. But in modern times, it's been repopularized by a series of books known as the Left Behind series. And there's a Catholic author by the name of Carl Olson, who's spent a lot of time debunking the theories that are presented in these books in the Left Behind novels. He even wrote a book about it himself for Ignatius Press called Will Catholics Be Left Behind? And he talks about really the five myths about the rapture that are out there and that we need to be aware of. Myth number one, these Left Behind books are simply a fringe belief system that not very many people take seriously. Well, these Left Behind books were written by Tim LaHaye, who's kind of the theological mind behind it, he's a Protestant, and Jerry Jenkins, the novelist Jerry Jenkins. And so there are 16 of these books, and they have to do with this alleged rapture period where Christians are taken up to heaven. What happens during this tribulation period? What happens to the people who are, quote-unquote, left behind? Now, these books, in case you haven't heard of them, have sold, last time I checked, over 65 million copies. And that was a few years ago, so I'm sure they've sold more than that. They're actually the biggest-selling Christian fiction series of all time. Incredibly popular. And they really spawned a lot of spin-off I guess you could say products as well, movies. You might have seen the Left Behind movies, CDs, kids' books, all kinds of devotional books, all kinds of products, greeting cards. And there's a website that also gets a heck of a lot of visitors still every month. Now, this in itself, this Left Behind series was in turn kind of inspired by another book that became incredibly popular in 1970. And this was written by a guy named Hal Lindsey. It was called The Late Great Planet Earth. You might have heard of this book. It sold over 40 million copies on its own just for this one book. And he was a Bible prophet, and he tried to say that this rapture was going to happen, and it was going to happen soon, in fact, in the 1980s. He tried to rip headlines out of the newspapers and say, this is what it's talking about in the book of Revelation. So Tim LaHaye, who wrote the Left Behind series, he was very much inspired by the work of Hal Lindsey and Late Great Planet Earth. In fact, the first book that Tim LaHaye wrote was called The Beginning of the End. He wrote that in 1972, and according to Carl Olson, it's a carbon copy of Hal Lindsey's The Late Great Planet Earth, a lot of the same themes. And many other authors since then have written about the same topics. So it's far from fringe. As Olson points out, this is actually pretty mainstream in the Protestant world. And as someone who spent a lot of time in that milieu, I spent about 10 years outside the Catholic Church, I remember the 1990s, the early 2000s, this was all the rage. Now, not all Protestants believe this stuff. It's important for you to know that a lot of Protestants think this is really bad theology as well. But these books were incredibly popular, and people were talking about them. Another part of this theology is an antagonism towards the Catholic Church. In fact, Tim LaHaye is fairly anti-Catholic himself in a lot of his viewpoints. Carl Olson says that there is a historian from Harvard University named Paul Boyer who wrote a book called When Time Shall Be No More, Prophecy Belief in Modern American Culture. And this Harvard historian, Paul Boyer, says that 40% of Americans actually believe in Bible prophecy and really buy into the whole concept of the Left Behind novels. So this is far from fringe. This is a very widespread belief in what's going to happen at the end of time. And this is a theological area called eschatology. It has to do with the end times, the eschaton. So that's myth number one, that this is kind of a fringe belief that's out there. No doubt you probably know somebody who's been influenced by it. The second myth that Olson talks about with respect to the rapture is that Catholic beliefs about the end times are in fact very similar to beliefs about the rapture proffered by writers such as LaHaye and Jenkins in their Left Behind series. That is not the case. That on the surface, it might seem that way. Catholics, we also believe in the Second Coming. We believe in a future Antichrist, but we believe very, very different things about them than what these rapture proponents believe. Now, if you look at the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 675, this would surprise a lot of non-Catholics, because we as Catholics do believe in the Second Coming of Christ, a final trial that is going to test those on the earth, and what the Catechism calls a supreme religious deception of the Antichrist. So it might seem on the surface that we agree, we're all talking about these things, but we don't believe the same things about them. It's important for you to know this. So one of the premises of the rapture theology is that there are two peoples of God, as it were, two groups, two peoples. Number one, the Jews, which they refer to as an earthly people, and the Christians, the heavenly people. It's the Christians, the believers in Jesus, that get raptured up to heaven under this false theology. So this is pretty confusing for Catholics. But the reason why they think this happens is because Christians need to be removed by a rapture from the earth so that God's prophetic timeline can be restarted, God's work with the Jews can be resumed. And during this tribulation period, which they think will take about 7 years, there'll be a lot of chastisement. Many Jews will come to believe in Jesus under this theology, but many won't, and many will be killed. And then finally, Jesus comes back, sets up a millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. They also think that animal sacrifices are going to resume in the temple, that the temple in Jerusalem will be rebuilt. And in fact, just the other day, one of my relatives sent me a YouTube video trying to teach this theology and saying, what do you think about this? So this is pretty widespread, even to this day. It's important for you to know that none of this is Catholic teaching. None of this is Catholic teaching. You need to understand that Jesus was not rejected by all the Jews. Far from it. Jesus himself is Jewish. Don't forget, his mother is Jewish. All the apostles are Jewish. And many of his disciples were Jews who accepted him as the Messiah. And even to this day, there are many, many Jewish believers, ethnic Jews, who come to believe in Jesus as Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah in Hebrew. The church teaches that there is only one people of God. There are not two peoples of God. The old covenant is actually fulfilled in the new. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 1267, it talks about how there is, quote, one people of God of the new covenant, which transcends all the natural or human limits of nations, cultures, races, and the two sexes. For by one spirit, we are all baptized into one body. End of quote. So this is the basis of the Catholic, the universal church. It's for all people. It encompasses Jew and Gentile. Now, it is true that St. Augustine did teach some things that a lot of people think, well, he was teaching this idea of the rapture or the millennium, that sort of thing. He did talk about the thousand-year reign of God, but he thought that was the church age, the age of the church. But that has never been formally defined by the Catholic Church. So you might see some aspects of this type of teaching in the Church Fathers, but certainly not at all unanimous, and the Church, again, has never adopted these ideas as fact. The third myth that Olson talks about when dealing with this concept of the rapture and how Catholics can fight against it, a lot of people want to tell you that the rapture is, in fact, biblical. And we're going to look at this one verse that people do use as a basis for this. They use a few different verses, but primarily the one in Matthew 24 is really right up there. We'll talk about that in just a second. But it's important for you to understand that this concept of the rapture did not exist before the 18th century. Okay? Catholics and Protestants did not believe in this. There were some notions sort of concerning the rapture that were maybe put forward by some Puritan preachers at the end of the 17th and the early 18th century. But it was really John Nelson Darby in the 1830s, who was a former Anglican, who really was the guy who got the ball rolling and started this whole theology. You're listening to The Faith Explained on Relevant Radio. I'm your host, Cale Clark. So really, as Carl Olson says, there are only two options here. Either the rapture was always true, and just for 1,800 years, nobody figured it out until some of these Puritans another Baptist minister, but mostly John Darby, who figured it out, or every Christian believed this from the beginning. Well, there's no evidence that anybody believed this in the beginning. And as far as this concept that it's in the Bible, well, it's really not. One of the verses that people try to use saying that there's a rapture, we'll get back to Matthew 24 in just a second, is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses 15 to 18. It says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. So a lot of people think this is about the rapture because people meet the Lord in the air. Well, it's not about the rapture, because 1 Thessalonians does not talk about Christ returning to earth two times. And a lot of people who believe in the rapture, they think that it's an event that is not public. It's silent. People just kind of disappear from the earth. They're raptured. But this is a very public event that's proclaimed here. A loud archangel's call, the sound of the trumpet of God. Okay, this people know this. It's very, very public. And every other time the New Testament talks about Christ coming with the clouds, it has to do with his second coming at the end of time, not some sort of a rapture prior to a period of tribulation, just a lot of suffering. Okay, so Olson, very, very quickly, he makes two more points. One of them is that, and this is the fourth myth, that the early church fathers believed in the rapture and some sort of a millennial kingdom on earth. And again, some writers in the early church period, Papias, St. Justin Martyr, Tertullian, St. Irenaeus, a few more, they did think that Christ's second coming would lead to a visible earthly reign, but it's very different from the kind of theology that modern believers in the rapture, dispensationalist, a millennial reign of Christ. It's a lot different from what they actually believe. And again, even if you can find some aspects of this in some of the church fathers, it's the unanimous teaching of the fathers that counts in terms of Catholic doctrine. And even the writings of the fathers, they're an aid to the magisterium, the teaching office of the church. The teaching office of the church has always used perspectives from the fathers to guide Catholic doctrine. But so again, just because one father here or there might have said this, that, or the other thing, that does not mean that there was a system of thought about a millennial reign of Christ or anything like that in the early church. And here's the last myth, myth number five that Carl Olson talks about, that these left-behind books, this theory of the rapture, even if it's not true, it's harmless entertainment. It can encourage people to understand the scriptures better, especially the book of Revelation. That is simply not the case. They can actually provide a lot of issues. First of all, Tim LaHaye, who wrote the Left Behind series with Jerry Jenkins, he's got a lot of anti-Catholicism that comes through in his writings. And not necessarily always in the Left Behind series, but in his other books. He talks about the church, the Catholic Church, being apostate. He calls it Babylonian mysticism, an idolatrous religion. He thinks Catholics worship Mary, and they don't understand much about Jesus. So he's got definitely an animus towards the Catholic Church. And he says, for example, there's no difference between Hinduism and Catholicism. He says the Catholic Church killed 40 million people during the Dark Ages. There's all kinds of misconceptions in his writings. He's basically an anti-Catholic in a lot of ways. As far as this concept that the Left Behind series can help people understand the Bible better, I don't think so at all. This is not a correct interpretation of the scriptures. Okay, so people might think that these books are harmless entertainment, but they do have a theology behind them that could be quite devastating because it's not in accord with the truth. All right, now let's get to that biblical passage that we brought up at the beginning from Matthew 24. Does it have anything to do with any kind of a rapture? If not, what does it really mean? Well, again, context is key here. Context determines meaning. Let's go to the passage. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24, verses 40 and 41. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Those who believe in some sort of a rapture think that the ones who are taken are zapped up to heaven, and the ones who are left will be forced to fend with this tribulation period, this time of suffering before this millennial reign of Christ. Well, let's look at the context here. This is let's back it up a little bit, just a few verses here to Matthew 24:36. Jesus says, "About that day and that hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken, and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. All right, so really it's about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, about that day and that hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Now, that has caused a lot of embarrassment for the church over the centuries. This idea, how can Jesus not know when the second coming is going to happen? So, once again, this is a checkmark in authenticity for the scriptures. No Christian is going to make up a passage where Jesus doesn't know when he's coming back. It's potentially embarrassing to the early church. So this does suggest that Jesus did really say that. This is not made up. Now, there are some biblical traditions that talk about the fact that the angels cannot know the future. There's a book called For Ezra. It's not in the Bible, but it's very well known to the Jews, where Ezra asks if he's going to be alive in the last days, and an angel tells him, I do not know. God alone knows everything about the future. The rabbis once talked about this as well. There was a discussion about the length of the reign of the Messiah, and Rabbi Simon ben Lachish says that he's talking about Isaiah 63, verse 4, which says, for the day of vengeance was in my heart, and the year for my redeeming work had come. Rabbi Simon says that this implies that God has not revealed his plans about the end of days to the angels, for this knowledge of this day, the last day, is in God's heart only, no one else's. So let's talk about this concept of Noah too, the days of Noah and the flood, because that is the immediate context of these two verses that talk about one being taken, one being left, two women grinding meal, one will be taken, one will be left. Well, the concept of Noah and the flood, well known in late antiquity. Many cultures had some sort of a version of the flood. It was very well known and talked about a lot in Jesus's day. I could give lots of examples of this, but the point of Jesus bringing this up, the days of Noah, is that the coming of the Son of Man will really bring about a worldwide judgment, just like the flood that destroyed the earth in judgment in the days of Noah. It's going to be sudden, it's going to be unexpected. And that's why these two verses are here, Matthew 24, verses 40 and 41. Two will be in the field, one will be taken, and one will be left. Now here's the thing, now this is where people get this wrong. Who is actually saved in the end? The one that's taken or the one that is left? Now think about the context here. Think about the context. The ones who are saved are not the ones who are taken away. It's the ones who are left. Because look at what happened in the time of Noah, the time of the ark. This is the context of these verses. Those who entered the ark, Noah and his family, they were saved. They were left. They were left behind, as the books say. They were left behind. They were the ones who were saved. The ones who were taken away are those who perished in the flood, everybody else on earth. They were taken away, all right. They were taken away to judgment. So that's the danger here. So the meaning, the true meaning of this passage is the exact opposite of the meaning that people who believe in the rapture think that it has. And so this is something that we have to keep in mind here. Who was taken in the days of Noah? It was the wicked. They were removed permanently. The righteous were the ones who were left behind. They rebuilt the earth after the flood. Now, Jason Staples, he's written about this passage as well, a scholar from North Carolina State University. He kind of retranslates these two verses in a way that maybe makes better sense of them. Two men will be in a field, one will be seized, and one will be released. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be seized and one will be released. It's better to be released than seized and taken away. So again, this is the opposite of what most people have in the modern imagination. So this is a very, very new perspective. This teaching on the rapture, again, it's only in the last 200 years or so that it's come to the fore. And it's quite remarkable how this has taken hold of the popular imagination. But this proof text that people want to use for it, it doesn't mean what people think that it does, in fact, mean. So if someone ever asks you, hey, will you be left behind? You can certainly answer them by saying, I hope so. I hope to be left behind, because those left behind are the ones who are actually going to be saved. I'm Cale Clark. You've been listening to The Faith Explained. Thanks for joining me today. If you have questions about the faith, things that you'd like us to cover on the Faith Explained program, you can email us at faith, F-A-I-T-H, at relevantradio.com. You can also follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. We have a Faith Explained account on Twitter as well that you can follow, at Faith Explained. That's also a good place if you use Twitter. Send us questions, comments. Love to read them. We love to hear from you. So we'll have more in the future on misunderstood, misinterpreted biblical passages. There are so many, but there are a few key passages that keep coming up again and again and again. Now, if you've ever missed an episode of The Faith Explained, heaven forbid, you can always access the podcasts on relevantradio.com and the Relevant Radio app. You can share them with friends, and you can go back and learn much more about this interpretation of the end times from the church's perspective in our Revelation series. And all the episodes from our Revelation series are now back up on the Faith Explained page on relevantradio.com for you to listen to and share. Just go to the website and click on where it says our shows and find the Faith Explained program. I'm Cale Clark. Thanks for joining me today. Please join me later today for the Cale Clark Show at 5 p.m. Central. Catch you then and tomorrow on The Faith Explained. God bless you.